Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, all you rockers and rollers out there, or should I say, metalheads! You're listening to Talking Metal. My name's Eric Turner. I'm in a band called Warrant, and I'm a fan of the show, too.
Mark Striegel, John Astronomy, the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. It's John Astronomy here with Mark Striegel in, of course, Midtown Manhattan. Today we are over by Penn Station hanging out, and we have a great show for you today. Eric Turner of Warrant, one of my absolute favorite bands. I first saw them when they opened up for Paul Stanley in 1989 up at the Channel in Boston, and since then they've been one of my all-time favorite bands.
Yeah. Now, who opened up? That was the Paul Stanley solo tour. Mark Striegel here, by the way, guys. How are you? Who opened up that Paul Stanley solo tour? Because I saw it in Trenton, but didn't Bullet Boys open some dates, too?
You know what? I didn't see the Bullet Boys. That might have been in some of the other cities. I saw two shows, I believe, Boston and Pittsburgh, and Warrant were the openers on both of those gigs.
Okay. Great, great tour. The Paul Stanley Club Tour, it was kind of a big deal. It was really the first time Paul was out on the road touring with Eric Singer, I believe. Right, John?
That is correct. And Bob Kulick, Bruce Kulick's brother, was the guitar player, and they had a keyboard player named Gary Corbett. And forgive me, I need to look up what the bassist's name was, but he was a really great guy.
Right on, right on. So, yeah, we're thrilled Eric Turner is on the podcast. I was talking to John before we started recording here. It's like when Warrant came out, I liked what they were doing. I was really into them. But I'm almost a bigger Warrant fan now. And in the years since Cherry Pie and since they kind of had their wild, massive success and popularity and platinum albums, I ended up listening to them more and more, kind of almost after the fact. I guess I was late to the Warrant party, but I have to say that I saw them for probably the second time in like 96 in a club in Long Island. Eric and I actually talk about that during this interview. And it was on the Ultraphobic tour. And that was kind of where they went kind of grungy. We're going to play a song off that record later. And it almost has like a King's X vibe about it. A very different sound for Warrant and a very good sound for Warrant. Again, that's the Ultraphobic album that they put out, and I believe in like 95 or 96. So stay tuned to hear that, and stay tuned for Eric Turner's interview with Talking Metal. Right now, let's hit some Warrant, John. This is Sex Ain't Love. This is from a number of years back. It features their current vocalist, Robert Mason. And basically backing him up is the classic Warrant lineup, the guys that were on those at least first three records, including Eric Turner. So here we go. Sex Ain't Love on Talking Metal.
Yeah. now. Give me what I need.
Sex Ain't Love by Warrant, right here on Talking Metal, featuring our guest tonight, Eric Turner of Warrant, one of my favorite bands. One of the cool things that they used to have are these mic stands that, instead of just having one mic, there were two mics on the top of the stand, and so they could do these cool backup vocals, and it's the first time I've ever seen that. You know, it's not that crazy of a thing, but it's very cool. I have not seen that many other times, but it's a cool thing Warrant had together. And I remember seeing him up at the channel, and I remember talking to him. I met Jerry Dixon backstage after that show, and I think I met a few of the guys in Pittsburgh as well. And then, of course, I interviewed Janie Lane at that VH1 acoustic gig down at the club in Jersey, Starland Ballroom.
Which we got to find, because, you know, after Janie Lane died, I was looking for that episode, and it was mysteriously missing from iTunes, so we definitely have to do some hunting and try to find that Janie Lane interview, because that's at this point, that's historic, that's classic. I'd love to hear it. I remember it being quite good. John, we're going to get to some listener emails, or I'm sorry, voicemails right now. Let's play the first one, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Hey, Mark, it's Matt Rankin from Rochester, New York. Hey, just wanted to check in with you. So, a couple of quick questions for the show. If you could name one concert this year, like the hands-down the best concert you've been to all year, what would that be? And second, what's your favorite release so far this year, 2016? My favorite concert was down in Atlanta. I got to see Prog Power USA, which in about 4 days, I got to see 20 bands, and that was pretty insane, and actually got to meet a lot of them as well. And my favorite release is by a band I kind of discovered out of Brazil, a band called Alma. A-L-M-A-H. Great album called EVO. Check it out if you get a chance. All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Matt Rankin, thanks so much for checking in with Talking Metal. Great to hear from you, Matt. Yeah, as far as best concerts this year, I've seen so many good ones. And just off the top of my head, Sabbath at PNC Arts Center, Guns N' Roses, who I saw in Las Vegas, and where else? And at Giant Stadium with you, John. Also Anthrax at the Rock Derby. I was totally into their set. Loved seeing them. Judas Priest in Newark, which was not this year, but it was within the last year. It was like November 2015. Was an amazing memory for me. Now, John, you've seen many Ace shows. Have you caught much else besides Ace this year? Because I know you've just been on the road with him like nonstop.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is that I haven't been to too many shows other than the shows I'm managing, which are these Ace Frehley dates. And the only concert that I know of that wasn't an Ace show that I went to was the Guns N' Roses concert at Giant Stadium, which was amazing. It was the same one that Mark went to. And that was just an awesome show, great vibe, so cool. Some of the highlight Ace shows that I can just say, not necessarily because of like what I was doing with Ace, but just because there was a cool vibe or a cool opening band where we did some dates with Jeff Tate, and I'm trying to figure out, was that this year or last year? It was either this year or last year, and playing a gig with Jeff Tate was great, and his band was very cool, Operation Mindcrime. There was a really cool festival in Florida as well, there were a lot of great bands there. Quiet Riot was there, Sebastian Bach, a lot of great bands. And some of the Ace shows that stick out, the House of Blues in Chicago was a really, really fun show. Of course, Enough's Enough opened that gig, and those guys are just great. Chip's Enough has become one of my really close friends. Throughout the last few years, I had ran into Chip at a out in Chicago when he and Man Cow invited Ace onto the Man Cow show. And ever since then, Chip and I have stayed in touch, and he's just been great. And it's really cool to have Enough's Enough on these Ace gigs.
Absolutely. And Matt, as far as albums go, there's been a lot of great records. I like that new Anthrax record a lot. I also want to mention Scorpion Child. The name of the record is Acid Roulette. It's a great record. You should definitely check it out. It came out this year. And let's now get into the album you mentioned by Alma. EVO is the record, and this song is called Higher. The song Higher by Alma, I'm not sure, H-L-M-A-H, recommended by our listener Matt Rankin. Let's get to the next call right now. You too can call Talking Metal at 973-757-1917. Here we go.
Mark, this is Jerry from Long Island. Love the podcast. My favorite one's at a year-end review where you guys review the albums of the year. Ghost isn't my new favorite band, thanks to you. You played He Is on the show, and I'm going to go see Ghost now for the second time up in Brooklyn, King's Theater, November. Hope to see you there. And maybe you could play Ghost's bonus track, Zenus. Thanks, dude.
That was Jerry from Long Island, and Jerry is a Ghost fan. I'm glad it sounds like I turned you on to Ghost, Jerry, so that's awesome. And I'm glad you like the year-end specials we've done the last couple of years. Those are a lot of fun. And he's asking, are we going to the Ghost show on November 12th? John?
Yes, we are.
You are for sure. I don't have tickets yet. John was just tipping me off how to get some good club seats for it. I'm most likely going. I hope to see you there, Jerry, and definitely look for John and probably myself at the Ghost show at the King's Theater, November 12th in Brooklyn, New York. And per your request, Jerry, here's the song Zenith by Ghost.
Time.
That was Zenith by Ghost, one of my favorite bands. That goes out to Jerry from Long Island, who called into the Talking Metal voicemail line. Yeah, I love Ghost. I'm really into that newer tune, Square Hammer. I think that is a freaking amazing song. And I put something up online on Facebook saying that I love that song. And, you know, there's all these comments. And one of the coolest comments was Dave Ellefson. He commented that it was a great song, too. So, of course, Dave Ellefson of Megadeth, who, believe it or not, was at the Silver Spacecraft once. And he was really cool. He came over for an interview. And then I wanted to show him how to get where he was going, so I jumped in his car and we drove for a while. And then when he got to where he knew how to get to wherever he was going to visit family members, I believe, in Jersey, I jumped out and headed back home or hung out in my area in Jersey. So he was really cool. But anyway, go Square Hammer, one of my favorite songs at the moment. I'm obsessed with that. I'm listening to it over and over and over and over again. It's like crazy, but...
And back to Matt's question about great concerts, and you just mentioned Megadeth. I did see Megadeth in Newark less than 2 weeks ago at this point, I think, and they were just a lot of fun. Suicidal Tendencies, Amon Amarth, Megadeth, it was a great show. I unfortunately missed Metal Church. They were on that bill, too. They played at like 6:30 or something, so yeah, I missed them. But let's get into a little Warrant. Our guest today is Eric Turner from Warrant. This is Family Panic off the Ultraphobic record. And again, listen to this, guys. It's almost got a King's X vibe or something. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let me know what you think. Give me a voicemail at 973-757-1917. Again, this is Family Panic by Warrant off Ultraphobic. We'll be right back. What you just heard was Family Panic by Warrant. Good stuff there, John. You ran into a Talking Metal fan somewhere recently, right?
Yeah, I ran into a really cool Talking Metal listener. His name is Neil Cedar. I was at the post office right next to Port Authority, 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. Back in the day, that was a pretty bad area. And I hate to say it, but it's sort of going down again, in my opinion. There was a guy that just, like, jumped out at me the other day. I'm walking down the street, and I'm always in that area. And I'll tell you, after some of those Ace shows in New York, you know, a lot of times I'm walking the streets at, like, you know, 2 a.m. coming from the gig or running errands or doing different things. And I'll tell you, over by, you know, Hell's Kitchen, 42nd, 44th, 8th Avenue, Show World, all that kind of stuff. I think it's going down again. But anyway, back to Neil. Neil Cedar, he is a Talking Metal listener. And, Mark, he met you at the Paul Di'Anno show a couple of years ago. But so, anyway, Nick, it was great to meet you. And, you know, send us a request.
Yeah, Paul Di'Anno show, that I saw Paul at the B.B. King Blues Club, and that's the famous night, at least in my lifetime, where I picked Paul Di'Anno up at his hotel and drove him to his sold-out show. I interviewed him, and after the interview, him and this, like, tour manager guy were like, what are you doing now? I was like, well, I'm driving into the show. They're like, oh, can we come with you? And so I actually drove Paul Di'Anno to his show. Yeah,
that is an amazing thing. Coming from being in a tour manager status, that is out of control, and so cool that you did that.
Yeah. Saved them the cab fare, as Paul told me. And that was the best, because it was actually Jay Bones. Our friend Jay Bones was driving the car. That's so great. It was Jay Bones, myself, Paul Di'Anno, and his tour manager in the car. And that was when the real stories came out about Maiden that didn't make the actual interview. It was a lot of fun, good memory. Anyways, we've been talking and playing tunes long enough, and we got a great guest on today's show. This guy is Eric Turner, the founding members of Warrant. He's been on every single Warrant record, which only two people can actually say, and he's one of them. So let's actually get into this interview, listening to his side project. This is Dick Von Rock featuring Eric Turner. We'll check that out, and that'll be followed by my interview with Eric Turner.
Money down.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and that song we heard right there, Wild Wild West by Dick Von Rock. And on the line with us from Dick Von Rock and, of course, Warrant, Eric Turner. Eric, how are you?
Hey, man, how's it going? Thanks for playing something new off my little side project.
Yeah, tell me about that. That is a very different sound than Warrant, obviously. I'm hearing a lot of, like, punk influence there as opposed to, like, hard rock and metal. Tell us a little the backstory behind this project.
Yeah, the backstory is Jerry and I have a company called Down Boys Music, and we do a lot of background cues for TV shows, commercials, movies. You know, we do some songs as well, but mostly background cues. And we got a request for a Life Proof commercial that they wanted some music that was kind of along the lines of Circle Jerks. And we had 24 hours to turn in some music. So a good buddy of mine who lives down the street, Skyla Talon is his name, a real talented guy, guitar player. I called him after my meeting from the road and said, hey, you want to take a shot at this? We got 24 hours and to turn in some music. So he recorded two songs, just, you know, the music. He recorded all the music beds, guitars, bass, drums, everything. And then I just came in there and screamed and shouted over the top of it and just made up lyrics that I thought were appropriate for the Life Proof commercial. You know, have these guys skateboarding all through downtown, and they're kind of rebels, kind of, you know, definitely punk rock vibe to it.
Cool.
So those two songs were Go Faster and what's the other one? I can't even remember the name of the other song that's on there as well. I'd have to look it up.
Right.
Shows you how often I listen to the record. But, I'm Free is
right.
The other track. I'm Free and Go Faster are the two. So we did those two. We submitted them for the show or for the commercial, and they liked it, and everybody liked it. And at the end of the day, welcome to this business. Even though they liked it and we got paid for it, they ended up not using it at the end of the day. But we had so much fun writing those songs. I'm like, hey, man, let's keep writing some songs. That was a blast and came real quick and real easy. So that's how Dick Von Rock was born.
Wow, interesting. And do you do a lot of stuff like that, like writing for commercials and stuff? Or performing
not as much
for
as I'd like to.
Yeah.
Not as much as I'd like to for commercials. We work on, like right now, we're working on the Wahlburgers. We're working on Hollywood Medium. Earlier, a couple months ago, we were doing a bunch of stuff with Pitbulls and Parolees. We got started on season 2 of Duck Dynasty. Good buddy of mine,
wow.
Rick Savage, introduced me to the people over at Duck Dynasty. The same production company produced his show, Savage Family Diggers. And we started working on that show in 2012, and we still do. And that just led to more shows and more shows and word of mouth. And so, yeah, our little Down Boys music company is legit, and we've had like over 1,500 pieces of music placed so far.
Wow, it's incredible. And again, back to the side project, Dick Von Rock. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Dick Von Rock. We needed a name. Trying to find names for a project is almost impossible. Every cool name on the world is taken. And I was watching Entertainment Tonight or something, and they were doing a piece on Dick Van Dyke. And so I'm like, I love this guy. He's an inspiration. He's great. I'm like,
right.
I don't know why. It just popped in my head, Dick Von Rock. I'm like, there you go.
And it's
so
interesting.
I went and looked everywhere. Yeah, I went and looked everywhere on the internet, trademarks and all this different stuff. And there was nobody's ever used Dick Von Rock. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
The name of the project.
Nice. And it's interesting you're doing vocals on this. You don't play any guitar on the record?
No. I just scream and shout, man. I get to write lyrics and get my my yah-yahs out, I guess you would say. Maybe I'm a closet wannabe singer. I don't know. It's just fun, man.
Right.
It's just a lot of fun. The lyrics are tongue-in-cheek. And that's why I wanted to name the CD Scream and Shout, because that's all I'm doing. I'm not a singer. But I'm having fun yelling into the mic.
And did you, when you were growing up, did you listen to a lot of like punk rock and stuff like that?
Not a lot. More and more, I started listening to punk rock when like Green Day came out. The new wave of punk pop is when I started listening to that stuff. And of course, everybody loves the Ramones. Everybody loves the Sex Pistols. Of course, I listened to that. But I wouldn't call myself heavily into the punk scene. I was a metalhead. Iron Maiden, Priest, Saxon, you know, stuff like that, Riot.
Right on.
That's the stuff that I grew up on and loved playing.
Cool. Well, let's kind of segue over to your other band.
Your real band,
I guess I would say.
The real band, my real life, not my pretend life.
It's been a while since we've had a new Warrant record. 2011, I think, was the last studio record you guys had out, or last record period. And I saw on your site, it says you're working on some new material, and I just wanted to confirm that with you and see when we might hear this.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to say the Frontiers, they put out Rockaholic in 2011, and it was a two-record deal, and they had an option to pick up the second record. And honestly, for 2 years at least, they've been bugging us to do another CD, and we just haven't had the material. We haven't written a whole lot. You know, we tour all the time, and everybody's got other little things they do on the side as well. So there just really wasn't any time to make a record. And, you know, long story short, after a couple of years of them harping on us and emailing us once a month, we finally, you know, talked about it as a band and signed the second option deal about 6 weeks ago or so. And
cool.
Game on. We have about 12 songs demoed right now, give or take one or two. And I'm really digging the material and a lot of cool stuff there. It's just demos. We're slated to start recording. We actually start pre-production the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to do 3 days of pre-production, and then we go into Jeff Pilson from Dokken and Foreigner. He's producing the record. So we're going to load into his studio, and I think we have 6 weeks blocked out.
Well, that's exciting to know Jeff.
Record the new CD.
Yeah, Jeff did a great job on the Last in Line album earlier this year. So, wow, that's great. I'm glad you're working with Jeff. And this is still the lineup that you've had in place, which is essentially really the classic Warrant lineup from those first three records, along with Robert Mason on vocals now, right?
Yeah, back in 2004, we got, you know, Joey and Steven back in the band, which, you know, the core of Warrant, the four of us. And Jamie St. James from Black and Blue. And we did 3.5 years with that lineup, and we did a CD called Born Again
in
2006. Yeah, there's some good material on there. It was a big deal for us because, you know, we have what I think is one of the greatest, you know, hair band, metal band songwriters and singers in the business, Jamie Lane, in our band. And he was always our musical leader. So that was the first time, you know, he wasn't there in the band anymore, and we were making a record, and it kind of fell upon all our shoulders. And Jerry Dixon, you know, grabbed the ball, ran with it. And so I had a few co-writes, and Jamie wrote a bunch of stuff, and Jerry wrote a ton of stuff. And we did a CD with Pat Regan, who's famous for working with Kiss, and Ted Nugent, and Richie Blackmore, and on and on.
Right.
So it turned out pretty cool, and we got some confidence from doing that CD, and we had a pretty good, you know, some good feedback from the fans. And then in 2008, Janie came back to the band. We had the original lineup together for a year, a little less than a year, and unfortunately that imploded.
Right.
And at the end of 2008, we asked Robert Mason to come out and to Los Angeles and play some music with us, get in the room and hash it out. And remember, we played Down Boys. I couldn't hear him very well. And then we played I Saw Red, which is a ballad.
Sure.
And it's more quiet and dynamic. And he sang that song, and I was getting chills up both arms. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the guy, you know. So he's been in the band, hard to believe, in 8 years. And we've done one CD. And things are good, man. Things are good.
Excellent. Cool. And as far as the style, you mentioned some of the songs are demoed already that you're working on for this new record. You know, Warren is a band, really, when you look at it, you've had some different musical styles through the years. What style are we looking at for this record?
I would call it a cross between, you know, classic 70s hard rock and 80s hard rock that we're known for, from everything that I'm hearing from the demos. It's pretty rocking stuff, and but it has that melodic sensibility. You know, we all grew up on pretty much the same bands. You know, Robert's heavily influenced by not only 80s rock
you know, bands, but, you know, guys like, you know, Bad Company, Paul Rogers, Steve Marriott. So a little more grit, a little more blues rock, I would say, with some good melodies. That's how I would describe it.
Cool. You know, and I wanted to ask you about a record that I think was a little off the beaten path for you guys, but I really liked it. And it was, you had some different members in the band at the time. I actually saw you on this, on the tour that you did for it, the Ultraphobic album, which came out, I think, 96-ish. What are your memories of that record? Do you think it aged well? Because I recently went back and listened to it, and I was like, this is really good still. And I liked it at the time when it came out.
Yeah, you know, all the, we had been pelted by the whole grunge thing and the hair metal backlash in the media and from our peers and stuff like that. And Joey had left the band, and you know, we had asked Steven to leave, and it was just a really kind of weird, dark time. Janie had quit the band and then come back after 6 months, and, you know, we were just starting over. We got dropped from our label, and so luckily we bounced back on our feet, and we signed with BMG, and a guy named Tom Lipsky put a label together and signed us. And so we got Rick Steyer and James Kotak from Kingdom right. Come. We had done some tours with them. And then Dave White, who had played keyboards with us on the Doggy Dog tour, he was still in the fold. And so we got we met with Bo Hill, who had produced Dirty Rotten Filthy Stinking Rich and Cherry Pie, and, you know, the vibes were there. And so we just went in and did a record. And you can definitely hear some of the drop D tunings and some of the grunge influence, along right. with, you know, Jamie's musical sensibility. I mean, he's just, you know, the guy's always going to sing something, you know, like melodic, Cheap Trick, Beatles, you know, where he comes from, you know, Journey. He just, he comes from that world, but then he mixes it in with hard rock. And so I thought the CD turned out great. Sonically, you know, Bo Hill is a great producer. And so it definitely holds up. We dumped some money into it, quite a bit of money actually, looking back now. So I think it's cool, you know, that people ask about us playing that stuff all the time, and we're just not going to play anything that the four of us didn't play on. You know, people always ask about, you know, like Belly to Belly or Ultraphobic or even right. Born Again. You know, we get a lot of requests for Born Again too, and it's just like, well, Robert didn't sing on that, you know.
Sure.
Steven and Joey didn't play on those, you know, Ultraphobic and Belly to Belly. So it just doesn't feel right. You know, we got enough material from Dirty Rotten Filthy Stinking Rich, Cherry Pie, Dog Eat Dog, you know, Rockaholic. There's four CDs with about 45 songs worth of material right there. So, and we typically play maybe 17 songs a night. So it's just, now we're working on this new CD. So that, I'm glad that stuff is out there, and I'm glad people enjoy it and ask about it and say nice things about it. But if you didn't see it back then, I just don't imagine you ever will.
Yeah, I remember seeing it back then. You guys were, I think it was Warren Slaughter and Vince Neil. You remember that tour?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
I remember a lot of blurry
good times on that tour.
Yeah, I remember the night I saw it. Actually, Vince Neil had punched out Robbie Crane, and Dana Strum was frantically trying to learn the Motley Crue songs backstage to play the set with them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when you were talking about that tour and that lineup, the first thing that came to mind was the night Robbie and Vince were duking it out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I was there, and of course we all were, and that's the first thing that came to mind. So interestingly enough that you should say that. Yeah, that's some classic rock and roll mayhem going down.
Yeah.
That night is a little ridiculous looking back now, but these things happen when you are on the road too long and there's massive amounts of alcohol being consumed.
I hear you. And as far as Warrant goes, do you have songs in the vault, like with Janie, that maybe have not been released and that maybe someday we might hear?
We have no plans to, you know, release any unreleased material or not, you know, with the Napster and that whole world. I'm sure pretty much anything we've ever recorded is probably out there somewhere, you know, demos and stuff, bootlegs that we've done. But, Yeah, we're really looking forward, you know, into the future, not too much on the past at all, other than the material that we play live.
Cool.
And we're proud of our past, and we wear it like a badge of honor. And, you know, been in this band for 30-some years, so, you know, of course we're proud of it. But at the same time, we're excited about making new, you know, writing new material and going into the next chapter.
Excellent. Well, like I said, I've been a fan of the last two records and definitely looking forward to the next one. So psyched to hear it. And thanks for joining us here on Talking Metal, Eric. And before I let you go, Ian McCurdy is the guy who hooked us up with the interview with you. Where do you know Ian from?
Ian is a rock and roll maniac. He's a good dude. And we became friends. Just, you know how it is in the social media world and concerts and different stuff like that. So he's a cool dude, and I appreciate him hooking us up and you having me on the show. I listen to your show and your podcast. I dig it.
And cool.
Thank you for promoting our genre of music and rock and roll and music in general. Keeping it alive, man. Thank you for all you do.
Absolutely. And yeah, thank you guys. I'm so glad you're still out there doing it. Last time I saw you was up at Heavy Montreal. I guess it was a little over a year ago at this point. Great set that night. Yeah, so look forward to seeing you again. What do you got coming up? You got any festivals? I guess the festival season's kind of over at this point. You got it?
Yeah, things are slowing down. We're doing November 3rd, we're in Houston.
Cool.
November 5th, we're in Vegas. And then we got some shows in December. We're doing some festival-style shows with Brett Michaels, Rat, Warrant. I want to say Doc and LA Guns. I'm not sure. You can go online, but we have three shows in December. We're gonna have to take a little break from recording the record, go out, play some shows, and come back. But I think we have about five or six shows left to finish off this year. And it's been a great year for us again. The last few years touring has been awesome. The shows are getting bigger and better, and playing on more cool packages. And I hope that continues into the future because we love it.
Excellent. Well, best of luck to you, Eric.
Yeah, thanks, man. Let me know when it's coming out, and I'll help promote it.
Yeah, cool.
Sky, inside your own.
That was Mr. Rainmaker off of Cherry Pie by Warren, featuring our guest, Eric Turner. Mark, great interview with Eric.
Thanks, man. And it's got me thinking, you know, you mentioned that Janie Lane interview. We got to find that. It's got to be – I have this crate of a lot of interviews backed up to CD. I got to go through that because we got to actually re-air that. I think there's been so many great Talking Metal interviews that we should occasionally do like a best of Talking Metal and go back and revisit some of those interviews. I think that would be a good idea. Anyways, 973-757-1917 is our hotline number. Please leave us a message. I think we're going to wrap it up. John just got a new drink. What's that, 7 and 7?
7 and 7. They didn't know what that was at this.
Yeah, that's a pretty common drink, right? What, 7-Up and vodka?
Oh, see,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, 7 and 7. But see, usually no one has 7. And so it's either like 7 in Sprite or 7 in Sierra Mist, which I'm not really a – one of them I'm not a fan of. I think it's Sierra Mist. No offense. I'll drink Sierra Mist by itself. But you can also substitute, if you're wondering, Canadian Club for the Seagram 7, or you can use Crown Royal, or you can use Seagram's VO. It's a similar vibe in all those different drinks.
Right on. Cool. Guys, big thanks to Matt for calling in. Big thanks to Jerry for calling in. Big thanks for Eric Turner for calling in. Big thanks to Ian McCurdy for setting up the Eric Turner interview, guy you introduced me to.
Ian McCurdy, one of my best buddies. He's helped out and done a lot of great work for Ace Frehley, and he is a watch expert. And let me just say, I have some really great watches courtesy of my good friend Ian McCurdy. Seiko rules.
Cool, guys. Thanks so much. A little warrant here to take us out. This is the classic Uncle Tom's Cabin. Possibly my favorite Warrant tune. I really love this tune. Great thing. A great dark story behind it. What's the story behind Uncle Tom's Cabin? Do you know?
Well, it sounds like in the song, the sheriff or some authority figure and some other guy from the town were trying to put this girl's body down a well. That's what I get from it. And I'm not sure where that was inspired from, though.
We'll have to look it up. Anyways, here we go. Uncle Tom's Cabin. Thanks, guys. Visit the Talking Metal website. Connect with John on social media. We got that, his Facebook page and all that linked through the website. John's personal website, which is what, astronomy.com or .net?
Both. Believe it or not, the site actually, I think, lives on .net, but you can get there through .com.
Right on. Cool. You can check me out on Twitter and also on Facebook. And we got a Talking Metal Instagram open now, so check that out. All right, guys, this is Uncle Tom's Cabin on Talking Metal.
The sea ain't got no bottoms, and it'll take you down a hill.
were gone when Tom got down. Prayed real hard that we wouldn't make a sound. Running through the woods back to Funky Town Shack, where the full moon shines through the rooftop cracks.
Oh my God, Tom, who are we gonna tell? Share them if it belongs in a prison cell. Keep your mouth shut, and that's what we're gonna do. Let's wallow.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.